Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from the UK, Mr. Jeremy Cordy. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Ashutosh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Lovely to
thank
be speaking.
Jeremy is a writer and founder, and he's an expert leader. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Cordy Associates, a commentator and an executive coach, and he has a forthcoming book. And all of you know, I'm very, very partial to authors. He's got a book titled 50 Ideas That Changed the World of Work, and we'll talk about Jeremy's book as well. So, Jeremy, before we start talking about all the work that you're doing, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Certainly, Ashutosh. Thank you for that introduction as well. My father was Palestinian. My mother was English. And that's given me something, I think, of an international orientation. I've reflected on that in recent years. My brother married a Chinese lady, so I have Anglo-Chinese nieces, and I have as well as Arab cousins. And then last year, my daughter became an American citizen. So certainly my upbringing, I think, gave me an international orientation. Studied first degree was in politics and history. Second degree was in international relations. And I got married quite young. I got married when I was 20. And my son came along when I was 22, my daughter when I was 24. That was interesting because that kind of planted in my seed the need for confidence. Marriage and children makes you more believe in yourself more and gives you confidence. And it wasn't until that point, probably in my early mid-20s, that I realized the significance of confidence at work, confidence in a career. And it really makes a huge difference. People don't tell that to you, certainly. When I was in my early 20s, they didn't. And looking back, I think that kind of turbocharged a lot of what was to come. First part of my career was in business publishing. So I worked for the UK's Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development. I helped set up their flexible learning business in the 1990s. And then I was also head of publishing and research at the UK's Chartered Management Institute before being invited to become a senior VP with the Economist Group, running their conference business, which was great fun. Qualified as an executive coach, started writing business books. And so 50 Ideas That Changed the World of Work is actually the 30th book that I've written for my sins. And I've been privileged really to work with business schools and organizations worldwide. We were talking a moment ago about some of the great organizations and executives, in fact, that I've worked with in Bangalore and Gurgaon and Mumbai and interesting places like that in India, but other places as well. Amazing. So, and the key, of course, I think the thread that goes through that is a curiosity, really. If you were to ask me what drives me or what I enjoy, it would be exploring the world that we live in and navigating it and shaping it for myself, but also helping others navigate and shape the future. And I think we do that with content, we do that with the writing I do, but also with coaching as well.
Fantastic. So now let's talk about leading in the age of uncertainty and navigating and shaping the future. Let me start by asking you, what are the characteristics of the age of uncertainty?
That is a huge question. You know, I'm thinking we should term it the age of opportunity because there is a lot of change that is unfamiliar to us. But hidden within that is the opportunity to do more, to go further, to build our career, to build our business. I'll come to that in a second. But to answer your question, I think previously, the events that we saw in much of the 21st century so far, so I'm thinking of 9/11 or the Great Recession, the financial crisis, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, things like that, were seen as events of turbulence or volatility, but against a backdrop of stable, predictable, orderly progress. So, you know, 9/11 was a huge shock, but by and large, the world was stable, orderly, and predictable. I think post-COVID, that has shifted now. I think there is no stable, orderly backdrop anymore. And it is a world of constant or kind of volatility. The certainties of the past have gone. And that's why It is really the age of uncertainty. That stable, predictable progress is certainly for the rest of this decade, I think, has gone and quite possibly gone for good. So that's the biggest characteristic of it. Is that how you see it,
Ashutosh? Yeah, I agree completely. I agree completely. And how do you see 2023 and the rest of this decade different from the past for leaders?
So I think that's really interesting. And I think there are several implications then that come out of this age of uncertainty. There are a number of trends, if you like. For example, the rise of paradox. Mm-hmm. So let me give you just a couple of paradoxes and then the implications for leaders that come with that. Mm-hmm. So there's a paradox that we are both technologically capable. Mm-hmm. For example, we can find vaccines for previously unknown viruses in only 9 months. Mm-hmm. We're technologically capable, but we're technologically fearful as well. Do we really want to use it? Do we believe it? We are interconnected and interdependent. So we're globally connected. We're interdependent on each other. Mm-hmm. And yet we're also tribal. We're also fearful of people that don't look like us often. And we have these paradoxes. Now, why does this matter? Why does paradox matter? I think it matters to leaders because it affects our attitudes to change. Mm-hmm. It affects how we as leaders, but also the people we lead, think and feel when they're confronted with mm-hmm. uncertainty or volatility. Mm-hmm. It means we need then as leaders empathy, understanding, communication, connection. We need to work harder at those things. Mm. It's no longer good enough just to direct and say, this is our business, our organization, this is what we need you to do, and this is what I need you to do.
Okay.
It's not so much about telling, but it's, if it ever was, actually. It's right. Particularly about engaging, about selling, about understanding. I think what really matters is vision. So people need, and particularly when times are tough and 2023 is shaping up to be maybe a slightly better year, perhaps than last year or the year before that, but only slightly, and it's still pretty darn challenging.
Yeah.
And so what makes a difference then surely is vision. You know, it's easier to move towards something positive than away from a negative. That's probably the phrase I use when I coach most often. It's easy to move something towards something positive than away from a negative. Mm. Psychology, therefore, is hugely important. Mm. And we need to know in our organizations, and it's incumbent on leaders to provide this, they need to share who we are. So what are our values? They need to share where we're going. So what our vision and what our strategy is, how we're going to get there, our strategy. Mm. They need to know why that matters, what our purpose is. And all of these things are often lost in our rush for speed. Mm. So I think another implication, so leaders need to connect, leaders need that empathy, that understanding, leaders need to manage paradox, and they need to help people with change. Mm. But I also think that they really, really need to get better at communicating, get better at bringing people along with them, and recognizing that the work they do as leaders, we do as leaders, really has a broader context to it. Organizations have to be accepted now in the places and by the communities where they operate. Mm. You can't just think that the business is all about you and your organization, your profit, and your product, and really not care about customers. And I'm really interested. And it made me think, knowing I was coming on a podcast called The Brand Called You, because branding is surely much more than it's ever been before.
Correct.
It's about everything that happens within the organization. Mm. So if that works well, if that's inclusive, positive, constructive, then it's a thread that connects with the outside world, and customers see it and they understand it and they value it.
Mm.
But if there's bad behavior happening in your organization, if there's dysfunction, if people talk to each other in a way that is disappointing, unfortunate, illegal in some respects, then customers get to smell that too, and that becomes your brand. So don't imagine the brand is a paint job on the outside of your business. It really isn't. it's much more what happens inside the organization. So I think as leaders, we need to be aware of that.
Mm.
And we need to do the right things. Can I just mention one last thing?
Yeah, sure.
Which is to remember the essentials.
Mm.
So trust, courage, openness, decency. You know, these things, Shakespeare wrote about these things 500 years ago. I can go and see a superhero movie today, which will show me a hero being courageous, open, caring, all of these values as well. Mm. You know, they work for Shakespeare, they work today. And I do often sometimes think we lose sight of that. People that shouldn't kind of lose sight of that sometimes do. Political leaders, perhaps even very wealthy business leaders, can lose sight of what really, really matters. And I think there is a lot of change, a lot that's unfamiliar, but we need to remember the essentials as well.
Very well said. Thank you. What a great response. So now let me move to your book, forthcoming book, which is 50 Ideas That Change the World of Work. Let me start by asking me, what are some of the most significant ideas that have affected the world of work and continue to shape our present and future?
That's a tough question. You know, even though I did have an inkling you were going to ask that question, it is still just so hard to answer. I think, can I pick out some trends
from
the book?
Yes.
And because it's the trends in the world of work that are really interesting. And then the ideas illustrate those trends.
Correct.
So one of them, Ashutosh, I would say, is the rise of data and assessment.
Correct.
And that's aided by psychology, a focus on psychology and technology. And so we saw, I think, was it the late 40s or the 1950s, the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's since been followed by a whole range of brilliant assessments. Hogan, for example, I'm Hogan qualified, so that's one I particularly rate, but there's so many others, FIRO-B, MBTI still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the rise of assessment is fascinating because that shone a light in a way that I don't know that we had this light shone in the first half of the 20th century or really up to that point on who we are as leaders. How do we behave? And I think that was an early major shift that happened. Mm. Leaders need to be self-aware.
Yeah.
We need to understand ourselves, our strengths, our areas for development. And I think assessment really helped with that.
Mm.
But that kind of focus on assessment has morphed into, it's still going strong. We still need that self-awareness. We still, you know, assessments are still a huge and valuable business.
Mm.
But it does say something about the rise of psychology.
Mm.
You know, this point I mentioned before about the need to connect with people, the need to have empathy, the need to give people a purpose, to look for that opportunity. There is an important point, actually, that I do believe we, so one of the ideas, so psychology and assessment will be one area. I think there has been a shift in the last, this century, I'd say. I was going to say the last 10 years, but I'm sure it's longer than that. For speed and agility is really, since the dawn of the 21st century, so the last 20 plus years, has become critically important. We see agile working and scrum practices and all of that. I do think, though, that direction and distance are coming to matter almost as much as speed. So in the book, we talk about agile working and how that is important. But I think alongside that is the need to give people that vision, that purpose, that direction, and to sustain that over time. And those quick, immediate actions we're taking to be aligned with the longer term direction and for people to know that. So that's two there. That's agility and something like vision and visioning, I think are important. I love the story as well. I think there's a lot more rigor now in business and leadership.
Mm.
You must see that. Yeah, I mean that's fascinating. And I think part of that would be something like scenario planning.
Mm.
So that's a technique that kind of rose with strategic planning in the late 60s and through the 70s.
Mm.
So thinking about strategy really turbocharged with Mintzberg, Porter and people like that, having sometimes conflicting views. So strategy developed and became very, very rigorous. And I think that was really, really valuable as well. And thinking about customers as well. So we've got things like Net Promoter Score.
Correct.
Mass customization. I think the business of, there's been a lot of innovation around innovation. So lots of new thinking about innovation. So design thinking we talk about in the book, which is a fascinating technique as well. So innovations in innovation, the impact of rigor, the rise of psychology, and we see that in so many of the tools. Tell me, and this is maybe an unfair question, do you have a favorite technique? Is there a tool or a technique, Ashutosh, you've seen that strikes you as?
No,
as...
so there are many, many things that are happening in the world, you know, whether it is all the things that you've spoken about. But what I really wanted to come back to you also was that amongst the 50 ideas, where do you see technology, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, ChatGPT, you know, that seems to be changing the work paradigm completely.
I think it is. And I think, so a couple of thoughts about technology. Firstly, I think the development of technology often outstrips our ability to absorb it.
Correct.
So we have ChatGPT and AI, and we don't actually know what to do with it. And we're a little bit worried about it. We're a little bit concerned about it. We have this amazing thing. Is it going to undermine our education system, for example? Do I just need to tell ChatGPT what my essay question is and they'll write it for me and I can go to the beach and not have to worry about it? So there are all these kind of fears, some trivial, some pretty serious, that come with technology. The thing, though, there are a couple of other thoughts. Firstly, the impact of technology is almost always overestimated in the short term and underestimated in the long term.
Correct.
Technology, I think, overestimated in the short term. So we think it will radically change everything. But its real impact is underestimated. The other mistake we make about technology is that it will replace what's gone before. The example I always give is fact that in the early 20th century, we had cinema, then we had radio. And then when television came along, everybody thought television would get rid of radio and cinema, but it didn't. It kind of stuck there along with it. Yeah. And then when streaming came along, everybody said, well, that's the end of television. We're going to have streaming now, and we're not going to go to movies even or watch a television. Truth is, all of these things, streaming, television, radio, cinema, they are all side by side, fulfilling a slightly different need, and there's space for all of them. The mistake we make is to assume that the latest technology is going to replace the one that went before. And that's what I think I mean when I say we overestimate the impact of it. We think this is going to be it. But I think we shouldn't lose, and I'm worried I'm going to sound like an old guy here when I say this, but technology is a tool.
Correct.
We are the masters of our own technology, and we can do incredible things. I've already mentioned, you know, finding vaccines and curing horrendous viruses. But there's so much that we can do with technology. And again, I think that's part of why I would be positive. How can we use technology to better serve our customers or to reduce costs or to secure our future or to make life and work more fulfilling or efficient or exciting?
Well, you're so right about this, because I see I talk to a lot of older people, and when you talk technology, they say, oh, this is not something that I understand. I don't want to understand. And I often tell people, unless you understand what is happening in the world, which is on the here and now, whether it's technology or anything else related to work, only you will lose, because the rest of the world understands it and will carry on.
Yes. And I think you've put your finger on it absolutely perfectly. And I, by the way, I have the source of eternal youth. Source of eternal youth, Ashutosh, is curiosity.
Correct.
is openness and wanting to learn and understand. That's Absolutely. What young people do.
Yeah.
That's what we do as kids. Mm-hmm. If you can keep that, and to your point, if you can particularly keep it with something like technology, then it will enrich your life and it will keep you fresh, young, interested, connected. Correct. Who wouldn't want that? That sounds the key to me.
So. Absolutely. So, Jeremy, I have time for two more questions. My next question is, how can one future-proof one's career?
That's a lovely question, isn't it? I think there are a few things there. And again, I'm going to come back to the name of this podcast, The Brand Called You. I think if you have an understanding that you need to be known for something, so you are a brand and have your story clear in your mind, have your successes, have your aspirations clear in mind, not specifically. I didn't know that I wanted to work for The Economist. Mm. I knew that I wanted to work internationally for a premium brand if I could. Mm. And I didn't know much more than that. But over time, my decisions took me, you know, I woke up one day and I was working with The Economist. So be clear about what you value and who you are and what you've achieved, I think. So number one, understand yourself and what you're looking for. Mm. That would be the first thing. I think also take care of your network.
Mm.
I think that's really, really critically important. You've got to connect with people. You've got to understand and be open and curious about, mm. about other people around you. And I think that's really important.
Mm.
I think what else would future-proof your career? I think I'm a great fan of strengths-based development.
Mm.
So understanding what you do well and looking to make it world-class.
Perfect.
And people often think, I'm not good at this and I'm not good at that. And so either I need to work on it or that will sabotage me.
Mm.
Well, do you know what? There's, you know, if I played up front for Real Madrid, it would not be pretty. It would be a complete failure. There are things we could all do appallingly badly.
Mm.
Let's focus on the things we do well instead. So I definitely say that. I think that would be, final point, confidence, future-proof your career. Look inside yourself and look over your shoulder as well. So look inside yourself to who you are. And over your shoulder to see what you've achieved, because that way often comes confidence. And future-proofing your career is about having that confidence, having that, okay, this is different, this attitude that says it is different, or it might be unfamiliar, or for sure it's going to be a change because I'm taking on a new role, or there's a new project coming my way, but I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to be okay because... Yep. of my values or what I've done in the past or this thing that I'm really, really good at, that, you know, I'm better than the average at this thing, then having that knowledge helps.
Mm.
So does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense.
But particularly this point about confidence, I think that's crucial too.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, we've run out of time now, Jeremy. I would have liked to carry on talking to you, but I just want to say thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me about so many different aspects of uncertainty, the future. Thank you for talking to me about your forthcoming book, 50 Ideas That Changed the World of Work. You know, I didn't realize you had written 30 books, but maybe at some other stage, I will ask you to, you know, talk about the 30 other books.
It's development. Writing books. Sorry to interrupt, Ashutosh. Writing books is developmental. And it's that's why.
No, I completely agree. And finally, thank you for the wonderful points you gave me for our viewers and listeners to future-proof our careers. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.